So I'm going to share something very simple. I did not have a Valentine's message. So sorry if you want that. I actually plumb forgot about it. I was thinking, oh, it's Valentine's Day. My wife sent out Valentine's things for all the ladies, and my kids had it. And I was like, oh, it's Valentine's. So she was going to tell me to wear red, and I pulled out the red. So I'm on the same wavelength. So I was talking to Bob this morning about that as well with his wife. So Bob had... I think you had forgotten too, hadn't you, Bob? So I said, Bob, you pick up some flowers on the way home for your spouse. So it's Valentine's Day. But I don't have a Valentine's message, but I think worship hit it. And honestly, the little things, an issue in my life, I was praying, Lord, I want you to do this. And my wife and I are watching this documentary. I'm not going to share that. A good father... is going to do good for his children because he loves his children. And whether we see it that way or not, or at the time, you know, we do things sometimes our kids don't like. My dad will sometimes do and say things I don't like, but they do it because they love you. And that's what a good father does. Doesn't always give you what you want, and sometimes does things you don't want. I look back on my life again, I've just seen areas where, Lord, I've been anxious here, I've done this here, I've done that there, and I haven't wanted to do this, and I haven't expected this. And I look back, I wrote my prayer journal, I was just looking back over the years, and I said, Lord, I couldn't have pieced all that together if I tried, but you did, because you're God, you're sovereign. Lord, I'm always going to align my heart with you, and because of your love for me, you're going to do what's best for me. And what's best for me is in terms for what's best for the kingdom of God, what's best for others, my family. Best for him. So God is good. So just know that. And I'm going to be speaking on Psalms, Psalm 121, Psalms of the Ascent. And before I do that, let me go into it a little bit. Then I have I just have something I feel like the Lord put in my heart for someone in here, which kind of goes along with this. So I'll share it in just a minute. But the Psalms 121, I'm not going to go through all the Psalms. I told you I felt to hop in here for a little bit. I've only spoken one message on it, two messages, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. But there's a lot of different variety of Psalms. There's Psalms of rest, Psalms of prayer, Psalms of gratitude. Psalms 120 through Psalms 134 are known as the Psalms of the Ascent. And they were given, they were sung. By the people of Israel. There were 15 steps that were taken up from the worshiper would take from the ground up to the temple steps. And so what times they would do is there's 15 psalms of ascent. They would, each step, they would sing one of these psalms. They would take another step and sing one of these psalms. These were also sung by the people. If you look when they were going into, the Jewish people, and they were going in to celebrate the three feasts in Deuteronomy 16, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. I need to do a teaching on those sometimes. Three or the seven feasts, however you want to encompass those of Israel, because those are so rich in truth for both historically and present truth. I need to share on those sometimes with the Feast of Israel. But they were also sung as they were going into Jerusalem, so the people would make their journey into Jerusalem, and they would sing these Psalms of Ascent because they were on an ascent in a journey. They believe this was also when Jesus, as a boy, and they made their trip to Jerusalem. It was the same type of thing. Some of these psalms in 120 to 134, if your Bible is like mine, they all say a song of ascents, a song of ascents. Some of these are King David. One of them is Solomon, and 10 of them are anonymous. So whatever the case, they're given in here. And a lot of these, let me say this too, each song, each step, each journey. And there's certain psalms, Ephesians and Colossians talked about teaching one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Something that God does with me in my life, and I'm just going to, again, this is very simple today, and I just want to share with you what the Lord shared with me about my walk with God, because it may help you out. I have songs that are very, very meaningful between me and the Lord. I don't know if you do, maybe you do, but there's moments, and I would encourage you to become a worshiper, I guess. And I'm not saying that you're not. I think all of you are. I think that's very evident. Those of you watching, you're very evident as well. But I have, in my own private certain song that I hear, and it'll just break down and hit me, or start speaking to me. There's a richness to it, and it's part of my journey with God. And these psalms of ascent deal with our journey upward towards God. We walk and make our ascent. Faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. We're constantly on a journey. I think it was Eugene Peterson who made a statement, and he said this: the Christian is both a disciple and a pilgrim. And a disciple in that we're always learning, and in a pilgrim in that we're always journeying with God towards Him, towards being like Him, towards His plan and purpose for our life and our heart. And sometimes in the journey, as I'm going to talk about in just a minute, we don't always know what way's next, where we're going, what's happening, where we're at, but we're on ascent and we're on a journey towards the Lord. And I don't like putting you on the spot, but for Aaron, you're on my heart so much. And there's just this passage: He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I celebrate the journey that you're on with God, because it's precious to Him. Just in my heart from the Lord, every high, every low, every here, every there, every up, every down, it's good, and it's a journey. And I look back at my life, especially when I was your age as well, and I was there too. But I look back at it, and I see God's hand in every place of my life and every place of my journey. So just know that your walk with God and your journey with God, it's precious, and He's with you, and it's good. And He who's begun the good work is going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Just feel that so strongly for you this morning. So Psalms 121, it's one of the songs of ascent. And I had this for last week, and then after my week this week, it's much richer to me. And I read this almost as a prayer and as a song for me. It became personalized. And I love it. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, for where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You have a song of this, don't you, Andrea? You do, that we sing here. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. We could just seal off that. Just go home. That's beautiful, beautiful psalm. I'm going to read it one more time because I love it. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let me just stop right there, actually. My wife was telling, this is a current event. My wife was telling me about something with Facebook. I don't know exactly what it is, but they are putting together a 20-person Supreme Court, I guess, of these people in the world to determine what's acceptable and what's not, I guess, or who's going to be allowed, who's not going to be allowed. And we were just talking and said, you know, that's the best man can do. It's not very good. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the 20 people of this institution in the world who tells me what I can and can't believe. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes to the hills. I'm on the journey. I'm in the midst of it right now, and I walk through and I see, where does my help come from to finish this journey? It comes from Him. The man, there's another psalm somewhere that says, man at his best state is altogether vanity. And I see that. You look at Babylon, all the way through, that principles remain all the way through Revelation. Man at his best state falls so far short of anything that's truly life-giving and acceptable in truth. We can do okay if I've got the Spirit of God in me, we do the best we can. If you're without, you don't have the Spirit of God within you, then hey, you're really, there's no help in that. So God's where we lift up our eyes. It says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. I can call to him any time and I don't have to wake him up. The Lord is your keeper, the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Again, this means so much. And the people here were going to Jerusalem, and this was a sacred spot. Let me just make one quick little point, too, on this. Jerusalem was a sacred spot to them. And, you know, other faiths have sacred spots to them. I think our sacred spot as believers, to me, it's our prayer closet. And I think there's certain places where... So I was remembering something. I have... No one's going to hear this that I'm not supposed to, but my... I can't say. I gave someone... I know someone who's going to be retiring from a ministry position that really impacted my life. And I was thinking back on some of the things that had happened in my time in that ministry. And there are certain spots that are beautiful to me. Imagine Saul came Paul on the Damascus Road. Imagine if he went back to the Damascus Road after that happened to him. Wow, this is where this happened, where that happened. Or Peter and John, James and John on the lakeside, where Jesus came. And, hey, this is that place. So all of us, I would encourage you, if there's if you don't already have it, I have certain rooms, certain places that are just precious to me. And it's just a place where, for whatever reason, I can really uniquely meet God there. I think that's a biblical thing, so that's just something I'm throwing out. But keep your memory. This is a, so I'm talking about your journey with the Lord. Your journey, just like I said to you and everyone else, your journey with the Lord is precious. It's to be cherished. There's a minister who's gone on to be with the Lord, and I remember one of the last messages that he had that came out on CD, and gosh, I think he died a few months later. One of the things he said, getting older, he said, enjoy your journey. Enjoy your journey with the Lord. And sometimes, I know for me, we can stress and stew and agonize. I just want to enjoy God and the people of God. Yes. And enjoy what He's doing in me. Enjoy what He's doing in you. Enjoy what He's doing in us. And find contentment with that. That's a beautiful thing. Yes. And I just want to encourage us with that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. So these guys were traveling, and they're traveling to a sacred spot for them, Jerusalem. They're going to go worship. And pretty much every Jew would do it at least once in a lifetime. And as I said, they believe that when Jesus did story when he was a boy and he got stuck there in the temple, they believe that was the same journey. So they didn't have a Honda Accord to drive or a train. They couldn't hop on an airplane to go. They journeyed. Journeyed in the night. They journeyed in the heat of the day, as this psalm talks about. That's why it talks about the Lord shall be your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not be. It's really hot sometimes. So they're walking, the sun's not going to scorch you, nor the moon by night. There were robbers. And Paul talked about this in Corinthians, the perils of robbers, perils of the wilderness. In other words, they were traveling to where the Lord had, and there's all sorts of things around them. Someone could come in and take my stuff. There's a journey. Water, or you get there, or something's going to, there was a weather conditions, there was a constant journey. My wife shared a story with me about a guy, it's a book, and I need to read it. I think his name is David Pratt, I think. He's a Baptist minister in Alabama. I can see his face, I can't see his name. Platt might be his last name. And he does a lot of work in the remote areas in the world. In one place he goes to the Himalayas, and he would minister to areas where they were literally never heard about Jesus, never heard the name of Jesus before. One region had less than 200 people who were believers. And some of the church situations there, I guess it's probably kind of like it is in maybe persecuted lands. I saw someone put is that you, the Voice of the Martyrs out there? That's a good read. Diane put Voice of the Martyrs information out there. But these individuals, he was going to preach at a meeting on a Sunday night, and he says, I walked 2 hours up a mountain. And he had to stop every 10 minutes because he was so tired. And about halfway through, he took a longer break. And there were hordes of people who took that same trek to go to church there. They're on a treacherous journey. And then when it was over with, at night, they would take the trek back down that mountain. And that just, like, oh, would I do that? Like, I don't, that's a physical picture of kind of what our lives and our journeys with the Lord are as well. Sometimes I'm climbing up a mountain with a song of ascent. And Lord, I'm going up here, and I need this psalm here. I'm going to lift my eyes up to the hills. There's some other ones. Psalm 120, the first one, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. I'm taking my first step up. In my distress, in agony, something's going on. I'm going to cry out to the Lord, and I know that he hears me. They deliver my soul. These are all songs and psalms that are part of capturing your journey with God. Because sometimes we're walking up that mountain. I know I am, and I'm sure you are as well. And I need continued strength. Continued strength. Lord, I'm walking. I can see the destination. I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills. I can see it. I'm still walking. The Lord is just as interested in your journey as he is your destination. Believe that. He's just as interested in your journey than your destination. I love the story of Joseph. I think that's Owen's favorite story in the Bible as well. It's probably mine. And I like to say this. When did Joseph become a success? It wasn't when he sat on the throne, number two in the kingdom. It was when he was in the slave pen, when he was a teenage boy, being thrown by his brothers into a pit. If you did that to me, I would start to consider the consequences. Imagine being a teenager and having that happen to you. Especially, Lord, what about that dream you gave me? Lord, what about this? What about that? And then you're in there. He always kept his heart right towards the Lord. He got put in jail for something he didn't do. He became a success in his journey towards the destination that God had given him. And I love it too. And he got there. He said, oh, the prophecy's fulfilled. It's all over with. No. The Lord preserved him and kept him for a greater purpose and a greater good, to preserve the 70. As it says, the people of God in Israel could flourish. Amen. He was kept for something greater than he had any idea for. And so, put this over here so my son doesn't put this Wilbur, or Billy, so I don't get that over there. Thank you. He keeps me on my toes. I'm going somewhere and I see heaven doing something. He's my son. So I'm like, oh. So that's our journey and our walk with the Lord. And so, I want to say one more thing too, and my wife shared this with me, and this is a good analogy. I've given it here before. It's good for all of us, but your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. There are, I just call them journeys of darkness, actually. Let me read this, some passages. In Exodus 20, 21, says this, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Okay? The thick darkness where God was. Some of their traveling was in the night. Thick darkness where God was. Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is sovereign. It says this, who among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light. If you can get him, please, for my stuff. In Psalms 18:28, it says, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. Someone gave me an analogy years ago. I've shared it here many times. If you've heard it, it's good to hear it again. But sometimes walking with God, where's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes the only thing I can see is like a GPS. And I turn on my GPS and it gives me the next turn. I don't know 8 steps ahead, but I know, especially sometimes I've got my map going or something, I'm driving somewhere, I don't know where I am. I don't like that. You can ask my wife. I really don't like not knowing where I am when I'm driving. So really, watch the GPS. You know, it gives you one step ahead and one step ahead. And not always, but oftentimes. Yeah, it's not just you. I get really... That's probably the most tense I'll ever get, when I'm driving somewhere and I'm lost and I don't know where I am. And sometimes the GPSs don't get everything right. It'll take you down a road that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I've been turned down country roads before with nothing but trees. So I don't love them, but when they do work, it takes you one step ahead at a time. And when you do mess up, it always says, "Say you big dummy, you turn," says recalculating. And oftentimes our walk with the Lord is like that. You can imagine the Lord saying to me sometimes, "You big dummy, you blew it." But He's a gracious Father who loves me.
Amen.
And He gives me opportunity. You did here, but I can take you down this road here and get you back on the path. Because that's what your heart is. And I can see the one step and the one step. I don't always like that, but your word is a lamp unto my feet. Sometimes it's a light to my path I can see, and sometimes all I can see is the step right here. But I take the step right here, and I trust Him. Lord, I don't know what's 80 feet ahead of me, but I know this step is here.
Yeah.
15 steps on the journey here in the Psalms of Ascent. I don't know what step 13 is, but I know what step 2 is. Lord, I'm going to sing this song with all of my heart to You and know that You're in it.
Everyone's coming at me. There's perils, but I lift up my eyes to the hills. And there's another passage. I love it. But it says this in Psalm 17:3. "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night." Psalm 17:3. "You've tested my heart. And You visited me in the night." Walter Butler is I mention him a lot. I appreciate his ministry. Everything that was left over and preserved from him while he was ministering on the earth. And he shares a story about he grew up in Germany in the during World War I, in the interim World War II, and then he made his ascent to America. And he talks about how he was a child, and he remembers in World War I how the German army would go out and they would sing these songs, "We're going to be victorious." Imagine these with gusto Germans, and he says 4 years passed and we had a chance to grow up as little boys, and then we saw they came back with their head buried and they left with all this bravado and they came back whipped. And sometimes now as believers we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. That's not a perfect analogy what I'm giving you, but sometimes the way of the walk and the journey, it's not all bravado. Sometimes it is. I love those moments. Sometimes it's not. If it always is for you, then you'll have times at some point in your life where it's not all bravado. And you can find yourself in a season where, just like they were journeying here, Lord, it's night. There might be a robber over there. Again, Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians or perils of robbers. Lord, the weather's bad. There might be this coming in. There might be coming in. And I can't see around me. I don't know what's happening. Honestly, in a lot of ways, our nation is like that. A lot of ways, I think the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is like that right now. Don't have all the answers for 8 steps ahead. We're taking it one step and we're trusting the Lord. I will tell you this, and I believe this with my heart, I want to say it. I believe everything that the Lord's doing, because frankly, if you're in this nation right now, even if you're a believer in this nation right now, in some sense of the word, you could say, "Hey, Lord, You're testing my heart right now, and I'm trusting that You're visiting me in the night, because I don't know what all the steps of everything are." But I believe, I know, that God is doing a good, good, good thing, and He's shaking and He's purifying. I was talking with someone recently, and do you know this, to speak candidly with you, I heard a stat that was staggering to me in a certain movement in southern New England, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. There's a possibility of closing down one. It's not us, so I'm not saying that. There's a possibility of closing down one third of the churches.
What?
Possibility of closing down one third. Churches, and there's 3 states.
Oh, wow.
That's not us, so I'm not even portraying that, but I'm saying that's a possibility for other places. You look at that. I was talking to someone, he said, "How many of Paul's churches are still here? What is the Lord doing?" Some of it, it's hard, but God's doing a good thing if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I can say, you know what, that's a night season, but Lord, You're testing my heart in it.
you're visiting me in the night, and you're seeing how I respond. And I told this from my wife. How we respond and how we posture our hearts towards God doesn't mean we don't have a bad day. Doesn't mean we won't have days where things don't come in. But it means the heart position and posture of my heart is if it's upright towards Him. We're going to be well positioned in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Amen. I believe that.
Amen.
And just for every one-third of those churches that closes, there's going to be a more even dynamic expression. I don't think God's through with those people. He's not through with those men and women of God who serve. He's not through with the people in there. There's going to be tremendous, great expressions of the kingdom of God that we haven't seen before. So I choose not to look, oh no, this is happening. Oh no, this is happening, God, because you're doing something good. And I don't care what the structure is. Listen, I know people are like, everything used to be a home church. You can have a lousy home church. Everything used to be high church. You can have a lousy high church. Everything should be charismatic. You should have a lousy care. What is your heart? The wineskin is a structure. God's looking at what's inside of it. I don't. You can have the best and the worst. It doesn't matter the structure. God is testing our hearts. He's testing the American churches. I know He's doing it in the world, in America. He's testing our hearts.
Amen.
And he's doing, if we allow Him, He's testing us and He's purging us. And I say, I want that for all of us who are here, everyone who calls this church home, who's at home, who's doing it, who watches it on Wednesday, whenever you do, God is purifying, He's testing, He's shaping, and He's molding. And I'm excited about it in the midst of everything. He's visiting us in the night seasons. And Lord, I don't care what the structure looks like. I just want You. And I want my heart to be in it. I want to love You, love people, see people come to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And this church is going to be a part of that. I can absolutely promise you that. More I can share on that later. But He's tested us in the night. That works in the church. It also works in us individually. And what is God doing? I have this too, because sometimes in the night I say, God, what are You doing? What are You doing? What are You doing? And sometimes He doesn't always tell me. You don't hear boo. God, tell me what You're doing. He doesn't tell me. But then, you know, I have a situation in my life, and it's not directly here, but it affects here in a way, in a good way. So, Lord, what are You doing? What are You doing? What are You doing? But just keep your posture. You keep walking on the journey. Just keep walking towards Jerusalem, and eventually that way becomes clear. Lord, I don't know everything here, but I know what You're doing right here. You're doing it here. You're doing it there. Because I'm keeping my heart posture right. Amen. I don't want to be someone that throws in the towel on step 13. And step 15 is where He's called me to.
Amen.
So I'm going to wrap up with this. There's a couple of points. I'm going to wrap up with one point. It says this. The Lord, in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, I didn't actually know this and start studying. If you did your Bible memorization, we did Deuteronomy 6 this week, and I added the verse, which the Shema. And it's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And I didn't know this, but apparently I think a lot of Jewish people today will still keep that in a like a cylinder type thing on their doorpost to remind them of the Passover. Remember the Passover? And the Passover, when the death angel would come, and they had a lamb for the house, so they would sacrifice and put the blood on the doorpost so the angel would see the blood that was shed and pass over it. And it's a fascinating picture if you look at it. They keep it there because they say, you know what? I'm stepping out of one environment and into another. And the Lord's going to keep me with it. The Lord, Lord our God, is what I'm taking. If you think of home, what home should be, and it's not always for everyone, and I'm aware of that, but what it should be, home is typically a safe place. It's a place where I can, when I go home, after I get done today, I'm going to put on some relaxing clothes. Take my contacts out, and I can just relax for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that here.
And
it's a place where you can be yourself.
And read a
yes,
book.
And read a book or something, yes. So it's a place you can be yourself. Sometimes when I take a step out of your home, I subconsciously think it. Now I do, okay, I'm leaving one environment, and I'm going into another. And there's a different thing that comes with that. And oftentimes, Kevin was talking with me a couple months ago, and I loved his analogy of the kingdom of God. The church is almost an embassy, so to speak. And we're here, and like, this is the kingdom of God here on the earth. This is God's colony here on the earth where Jesus is king, you know. Yeah. 2 miles down the road, they may not give a hoot about Jesus. And here, Jesus is king. And that's valid and important. He's the man who's in charge, you know. No, he's, you know what I mean when I say that. He is God. And so we have that. And as a people of God, to keep that mindset. I was listening to a man, and he was sharing about the plague of Galen back in the, I think in the 100s, and it was a worse plague than the COVID that we're having. But he was saying that, you know, in this virus, the Roman people would kick family members, anyone out to the streets. They would do whatever it was they had to do to protect themselves. It didn't matter who it was, they're going to throw you under the bus. Sounds a lot like the world. He said the Christians were the ones, and I'm not talking about someone, if you're taking precautions now, you need to, so don't take the words from my spirit. The heart of what I'm saying is that the Christian people, their mindset was, I'm going to be willing to go up and help anybody and everybody, and do whatever I can because I represent a different kingdom. And I can step out of one environment, say it's the church, and I can step into another environment, and I can know that the Lord is with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. The Lord doesn't sleep or slumber. He's with me. He's got my back. The Holy Spirit is within me, and He's upon me. He's with me. Amen? And I can take that step. And I have some things. Be present in love for the people in the midst of it all. And be able to minister to those in current turmoil. And I'll talk more about that stuff later. But as a people of God, give me 2 minutes and I'm done in 2 minutes. They stood for love in the midst of persecution in those times, the people of God did. And I want to say this, and this is not any of you, so I'm not pointing the gun at any of you at all, or anyone even who's watching, but let's guard our hearts that we don't become like the world is in regards to other people who so desperately need Jesus. And one of the greatest pieces of advice is my mother-in-law said this. She said, you can't expect a non-Christian to act like a Christian. And it was the most liberating thing I heard. I can't expect them to act like a Christian. And I want them to see with my interactions with them, and sometimes it's hard, but I want them to see when they interact with me, when they come into my presence, there's something different about him. He doesn't respond the way I do. He doesn't act towards me the way I do. Sometimes I get grieved. Again, not at any of you, so don't take this the wrong way. Just, it's a prayer point for the church at large. We influence people the most when we have a spirit of servanthood. That's what Jesus did. He stooped and he washed feet. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Jesus served so well that he gave his life for us. The ultimate servant.
Amen.
Ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate love. And it's very important that we keep that. It's really hard for me sometimes not to let people have it in the world. Very hard. But when people don't do me in a right way, and they're operating in a worldly perspective, and I'm not saying you don't have a backbone, but let's say, Lord, you know what? I'm leaving one environment. I'm walking into another environment. But it's all part of my journey and my ascent towards you. And it's important that I keep myself clean, I keep myself pure, and that the robbers who are out there in the night season when I'm on my way to you, that they would become children of God through my influence rather than something else.
Amen.
Or to sign them, or whatever's going on, I can impact those things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer, then I'm going to... So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your